For the first time in a long time, I don't have a specific text for my message to you this morning, but I do have a subject, and that is forgiveness. What and how? Not why, but what and how. And I think the reason that this became of such an interest to me is because we've all been exposed to a demand by certain people in our nation. And that demand is that we forgive the president. Just this week, we had a group of people who represented themselves as a ministerial alliance of some nature in the city of Little Rock, made up of different groups of people, some Baptist people, especially Black Baptist. They met together, and their attitude was, America's wrong, and the people in Arkansas are wrong, because they have not forgiven Bill Clinton. They're still pursuing him in some sort of vendetta. And what they need to do is forgive him and drop all the charges and forget all the charges and get on with the business of politics or government, I should say. The idea was, we have thrown the ball to your end of the court, and you can either do what God says and forgive him, or you can be wrong. Now, I know that's probably something you don't even want to talk about. As I listen to people discuss the polls, and that is, everybody's sick and tired of it. Why don't we just forget it? We don't want to bring up things like that because we might cause our economy to wobble, and if we do, we're all going to come up payment short on our new pickups and things of that nature, so let's just let it go. That's about as much as I'm going to say about that, except for one more reference on down the line in my message this morning. But it caused me to think about this business of forgiveness. And none of us have to be told we're sinners, and the idea, well, we're all sinners. I understand that. I'm not arguing that we're not all sinners. And we all need to be forgiven, and I'm not arguing that we don't all need to be forgiven. Why, preacher, you do wrong. I know that. And you need to be forgiven. Yes, I do. I need to be forgiven by Almighty God. And I need to be forgiven by those whom I do wrong. No question about that. I'm not arguing about anybody not needing to forgive anybody else. But what I am talking about is the idea that the only premise, the only predicate, the only foundation for forgiveness is that I ask you to forgive me. That's what I'm quarreling with this morning. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, that if you ask me to forgive you, I have a right to ask you why. Why should I forgive you? That's what I'm trying to show you as I preach this series of messages on forgiveness, why and how. Is there something other than the request that should be the reason and the basis for forgiveness? Now, I pointed out last Sunday that God doesn't forgive us because he loves us. And love is not the basis of forgiveness. It can be and is sometimes, but rarely is it so. The basis of God's forgiveness for our sins that we've committed against Him is what Christ did when He died on the cross. God forgives us because Jesus died for our sins. And the love of God motivated God to create a plan of salvation, a plan by which He could forgive us. And that plan included the giving of His only begotten Son to die and shed His blood. So the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the basis of God's forgiving us. Not His love, but the blood. This morning we're going to explicitly look at the Old Testament. Forgiveness in the Old Testament. Now, you may say, but Brother Penn, forgiveness is forgiveness whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And in some ways that may be true. But remember, the Old Testament, as we look at it and consider it, has to do with the first covenant. That's really what I'm talking about. The covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. The law that God gave to Israel through Moses. And the basis for forgiveness as we look into this first covenant. The covenant that God had with the nation of Israel. And remember, Israel was a theocracy. That is, it was ruled directly by Almighty God. It was not a democracy. It was not a republic. It was not an autocracy. It was not an aristocracy. It was a theocracy. And originally God said, I will give you judges. And these judges do not follow a bloodline. They'll just be people that I pick out of the nation of Israel who are godly people, who possess wisdom, who are my choice, and I will give you judges. Well, that didn't last long because Israel didn't want a judge. They wanted a king because the other nations of the world had kings. And so they pled with God for a king. And so God let them have kings, much to their chagrin and much to their own displeasure and unprofitableness. Anytime you want to change what God wants for you, you'll create some serious problems for yourself. God wants a marriage to be between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And when you change God's plans for the family, you're going to create some serious problems for yourself. And that's what Israel did. So as a theocracy and as a system of offerings made by priests, first in the tabernacle and then in the temple, we have this principle that seems to be in the plan of God. And that is, when you offer an offering and God forgives you by that same offering, it becomes the basis upon which I may forgive you. Well, that doesn't do away with the New Testament or the Second Covenant, because God forgives me upon the basis of what Christ did on the cross, the shedding of His blood, that offering. And Paul uses that as far as me and you are concerned, that is, members of this church, and that is, we ought to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So I can appeal to the offering of Christ as a basis for your forgiving me. But suppose you haven't accepted that offering of Christ, then we don't have a basis upon which we may forgive one another that is based in the Word of God. For instance, if you're an unbeliever, you cannot appeal to the offering of Christ, that we both have accepted it. Now you'll have to listen real close this morning. Okay? Of course, it'll make time pass faster if you listen real close. God has really blessed us, as I understand it. He's put two pizza places within walking distance. And somebody said whenever John goes back to count the money that he'll call in the orders. And that'll give us about 30 minutes and we can all pick them up as we go home. You never thought we'd have that kind of blessing here by moving and relocating here. But, you know, God is good, isn't he? So when I'm talking to a lost man and this lost man has done something wrong and he asked me to forgive him, he cannot say, "Brother Penn, I want you to forgive me on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ." There's got to be some other grounds for forgiveness other than just the shed blood of Christ, because he's not trusting the shed blood of Christ. There are three words in the Old Testament that are translated forgive. They are solaka, which means to forgive. Another word, noso, which means to bear or to pardon. And kofar, which means to atone for or to cover over. And they're just used interchangeably and translated forgive. Now, I don't see that there's any problem in the sense that one word is used here, another word is used there, as far as our theology or the principles are concerned. There may be some when it comes to the idea of the atonement or the covering over, because you will see this word used when it says for the blood is an atonement. It is for a covering. And so that may have some meaning. And we'll try to catch those if we can. But let's look now in the book of Leviticus, which of course has to do with the law as it was given to Israel through Moses. I'll use some illustrations so you can see what I'm talking about. Leviticus chapter 4. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them." Then he gives the description of what is to occur. He takes a bullock, verse 4, "Bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle, the congregation before the Lord shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." And continues on about the specifics of how this is to be done. Now look in verse 13. That involved an individual. "And if the whole congregation of Israel," and that's the whole nation, "sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty." So we're talking about an individual sin of ignorance. We're talking about the whole congregation sin of ignorance and breaking some of the commandments that God gave them. What is to be done? What is to be accomplished? Well, look at verse 20. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them. Now notice. And it shall be forgiven them. What was the basis of God forgiving the sin of ignorance to an individual or the sin of ignorance to the entire congregation? It was an offering, a bullock, an ox, if you please, of a specific description. And it was taken and the blood was used. And this shedding of blood, and this blood as it was sprinkled or as it was applied to certain appliances within the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, then this became the basis upon which God would forgive that individual or the entire congregation. It wasn't that they just all stood up and said, God, we realize that through ignorance we did a thing we shouldn't have done. Now, God, forgive us. And God said, okay, I'll forgive you. No. The forgiveness would only be extended when there had been an offering made and blood shed. And upon the basis of that blood being shed, the blood of bulls and of goats, upon that then God would extend forgiveness to them. Let's look now at Leviticus chapter 5. Verse 17. Leviticus 5:17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. Here again is a person committing a sin, and it's done ignorantly. He shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. What happened? Well, a man sinned, and later on he realized he had broken one of the commandments of God. And in order to get the forgiveness of God, he had to bring an animal. And you'll notice this time that it's a different animal. A ram rather than a bullock. And notice how it is to be offered according to the estimation, that is, according to the plan laid down by Almighty God. And when that's done, then it shall be forgiven him. So what is the basis for this particular sin of ignorance, this particular circumstance? God's trying to cover all of them, to anticipate all of them. It is the death of a ram, and it is shedding of blood. And the Bible tells Hebrews, without blood there is no remission. But the blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin, but in the Old Testament it becomes the basis of God's forgiveness for the children of Israel individually or collectively. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 6. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, you'll see that they cover the sins of lying. Well, let's read them. Chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, and hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely. So we got some pretty serious sins here, don't we? False swearing, that is lying under oath. Lying to your neighbor about what you received from him and what you didn't receive. And this is probably having to do with things that are loaned to one another. Or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore. Now look at this. We're going to have a basis for forgiveness. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and he is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away. Here's robbery. Or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten. There's lying and deceiving in order to get a thing. Or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Of all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal. Now, what's the principal? That's the full amount, isn't it? And shall add the fifth part. If I lied and cheated Darrell out of $1,000, I ought to give him $1,000, and then I got to give him a fifth of $1,000 as restitution. I got to restore everything I got. Then I've got to make restitution in the sense of adding a fifth part. And give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. Now I got to make the offering. But I also got to do the things that are laid out here. Now notice verse 7, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So what's going to be the basis of my forgiveness of Darrell, or his forgiveness of me? It's going to be that I restore what I stole or lied to get, add a fifth to it, and then offer a trespass offering according to the law of Moses, and let the priest do it. And when I've done these things, then I'll be forgiven, and God will by man, and I'll be forgiven of God Almighty. So what's the basis of forgiveness? Just the trespass offering? No, not just the trespass offering. But what have you done to make me know that you are sorry for what you did? How do I do that? I give it back to you, plus add a fifth. How does that sound to you? Suppose he said, look, I've asked God to forgive me, and the priest made that trespass offering. Now what are you so huffy about? Why won't you forgive me? Well, give me the money you cheated me out of, add, what, 20%? And then I'll think about forgiving you, because then I see your sincerity. Do you see that? You say, but that's the Old Testament, brother. I understand. I said it's going to be Old Testament stuff. But do we not see some principles here? You want me to forgive you? I want you to forgive me because I lied? Because you put into my trust a certain animal or a certain number of things, and when I gave them back to you, I shorted you. Deceitfulness. Notice all these things that are mentioned here. Now, what's the basis of person-to-person forgiveness? He said, well, if God forgives me, you ought to. No. No, no, God's going to forgive you because of the trespass offering. I will forgive you when you restore, when you make restitution, when you add something to it. That's when I'm going to forgive you. Well, you say, Brother Penn, that's crazy. Well, if you want to call God crazy, go ahead and call God crazy. I'm not going to call God crazy. Now, you remember a fellow named Zacchaeus that climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus said, today is salvation, come to thy house. And he was so caught up, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll restore fivefold any man that if I've cheated him. What was he saying? He said, I'll go beyond what the law demands, and I'll restore anybody that I've cheated or feels like I've cheated them. I'll make restitution. Look. Restitution in the area of theft is a possibility. Now, I'm not saying that the New Testament teaches this, but I am saying there is a principle here that if there is a breach of fellowship and trust over things, you steal my car and you sell it and keep the money, use it to buy drugs to get drunk, and then you come over 2 weeks later and just weeping, Brother Penn, I want you to forgive me. I stole your car. I sold it and I bought drugs, and I've been drunk for a couple of weeks, but now I've sobered up and I'm real sorry. I want you to forgive me. Now, what's going to be the basis of it? Why are you asking me to forgive you? Well, because God has. Okay, that's one. I'm glad God forgave you. But you're asking me to forgive you. Now, what's going to be the basis of my extending forgiveness to you? You say, well, because you love me. Okay, I love you. But what's going to be the basis of my forgiving you? And you say, well, what do you mean? I mean, pay me for the car. Then pay me for my inconvenience. Well, that's not right, Brother Penn. I don't have any money. Well, go work and get some. The alcoholic father who abuses his wife and abuses his children and constantly says, forgive me, I'll never do it again. But in 3 or 4 months, he does it again. What? And finally, the wife and the children say, we've had enough. And he said, look, give me one more chance. All right, what's the basis of one more chance? What's the basis of our forgiving you? What are we going to predicate it on? He said, well, you know, just because I say so. Well, I hate to say this, but show me the money. Now, I don't mean literal money, but you know what I mean, don't you? Show me something. You say, well, all I ask is you just, for the next 2 or 3 years, you just watch me, okay? Just next 2 or 3 years, okay, we'll watch you and see how that happens. Now, look at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I know this is, you know, this is a very familiar verse of Scripture, but what I want you to see is that there was a basis for God forgiving national Israel and the sins that they committed. You know, as a nation, they would do things, and then God would he would reserve the rain. He would reserve his blessing. He would not send it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And again, we're going to put it in context. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now there's the if. All these things happen. If my people, national Israel, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't that what the Bible said? If they'll just humble themselves and pray, then I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? That'll be the basis of my forgiving them and restoring prosperity, right? You're looking at me with that wrinkled that brow again. What's going to be the basis of God forgiving them? Huh? Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. We got a basis for God doing it. What do these people do? Humble themselves. They pray. They seek the face of God and what? Repent. Turn from their wicked ways. And predicated upon all those things, then will I heal their land, and then will I forgive their sins. Not just because they all just say, God forgive us, send the prosperity. We really messed up, God, and we really regret messing up, God, and we're here praying, God, kill all the locusts, kill off the diseased plants, kill off the viruses. In the next few weeks, we expect a big rain and a good crop. But we'll keep on doing what we're doing naturally. Well, there's some more things I want to talk to you about, because this is the foundation that I want to have laid well when we get to the sayings of Jesus. And he says, if you do not forgive, then I'll not forgive you. I want you to have a good basis of biblical knowledge before we get to that statement. Because people have never laid the foundation, they just quote the scripture. And they demand. It's on demand. Forgiveness is on demand. Whether it's from a lost person, whether it's from a bleary-eyed drunk who just run into your car, his license been suspended, this is his fourth time to be arrested. He has no right to be out on the highway behind an automobile, but he runs into you and he kind of staggers around with bleary eyes. Oh, forgive me, sir. I didn't mean to do that. And I'm supposed to say, he said the magic word. Now I got to do it. How about fixing my car? How about throwing in a couple of thousand to do away with the grief I suffered with my hurt foot? And he said, well, but you can't do that. Why can't I? I'll never do it again, husband. Well, after you've not done it again, I'll forgive you for a while. Going to be interesting, isn't it? If ye from the heart do not forgive one another, then your Father which is in heaven will not forgive you. That's where we're headed. Let's stand and pray.